Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay, this is text 37, so I'll first read text 35 and 6. Nishitam te narake manye hyapradatu pratishrutam pratishrutasya yon nisha pratipadyatitum bhavan. Translation: you will certainly be unable to fulfill your promise. And I think that because of this inability, your eternal residence will be in hell. Natadhanam prasamsanti yena vrittir vipadyate dhanam yagyastapa karma loke vritti mato yata. Learned scholars do not praise that charity which endangers one's own livelihood. Charity, sacrifice, austerity, and fruitive activities are possible for one who is competent to earn his livelihood properly. They are not possible for one who cannot maintain himself. Text 37. Dharmaya yashase arthaya kamaya sva janaya cha panchadaha vibhanjan vittam iha mutra chamodate dharmaya yashase arthaya kamaya svajanaya cha panchadha vibhajan vittam iha mutra chamodate dharmaya
for religion
yashase
for one's reputation
arthaya
for increasing one's opulence
kamaya
for increasing sense gratification
svajanaya
cha
and for maintaining one's family members
panchadha
for these five different objectives.
Vibhajan
dividing.
Vittam
is accumulated wealth.
Iha
in this world.
Amutra
the next world.
Cha
and
modate.
And he enjoys.
Translation:
therefore, one who is in full knowledge should divide his accumulated wealth in five parts: for religion, for reputation, for opulence, for sense gratification, and for the maintenance of his family members. Such a person is happy in this world and in the next. Purport: the Shastras enjoin that if one has money, one should divide all that he has accumulated into five divisions: one part for religion, one part for reputation, one part for opulence, one part for sense gratification, and one part to maintain the members of his family. At present, however, because people are bereft of all knowledge, they spend all their money for the satisfaction of their family. Srila Rupa Goswami taught us by his own example, by using 50% of his accumulated wealth for Krishna, 25% for his own self, and 25% for the members of his family. One's main purpose should be to advance in Krishna consciousness. This will include dharma, artha, and kama. However, because one's family members expect some profit, one should also satisfy them by giving them a portion of one's accumulated wealth. This is a Shastric injunction. In the world, then to progress, if one wants to be successful in the world, on the worldly platform, then wealth is required, opulence is required. So the whole concept in the Vedic culture is that everybody should have a system by which they can maintain themselves. They have an occupation. So this occupation then will give them their wealth. And different occupations will give different amounts of wealth. And the different occupations also carry different responsibilities with them. And then how that wealth will be used then is regulated by the ashram that one is in. That if one is a brahmachari, then that wealth will go to who is maintaining him, his teachers, his authorities, the grihastha. Then, as described here by Sukracharya and by Rupa Goswami, then will be divided up between the family, oneself, and religious principles. And the vanaprastha then may keep something, use more in different ways. Sannyasi will use for preaching and other devotional activities. So we see that then the essence of the whole system then is the wealth. Without the wealth, then there's no division. So we see is that in here, Sukracharya is most worried about this aspect. He's not so worried that, you know, so much else will be taken. It means that will be taken. Vamana Deva will take everything. But of that, the most important is the wealth. Right? Even if Bali Maharaj doesn't have much reputation, if he has wealth, then still Sukracharya will receive in charity from him and be maintained. Because Sukracharya, being a smarta, then his maintains himself by performance of ritualistic activities. And by the charity one receives from these activities, then he maintains himself, his family. So of all the aspects, then this is the most essential. Because without the wealth, the rituals can't be performed, the charity cannot be given, so many things cannot be done. So he's worried about this. And from the perspective, all these five are connected. If religion is, charity is given, or sacrifice is done for religious purposes, one's reputation increases. One does not perform sacrifice, does not give in charity, does not perform any pious activity, then one does not really have a good reputation. You know, reputation is dependent upon one's pious activities. Nowadays, of course, in the, you know, less, you know, how you say, considerations less than the, you know, human standard, then there may be some other considerations. But still, some opulence must be there, right? You must have something. You must be either very attractive, then, you know, that can be shown, and you get reputation, you have a good voice, you can sing, you get a reputation, all these different things. But some opulence must be there. So in this, then the essential point will be, you know, what he'll have to give Sukracharya. So he's worried that this will not be there. And we see it's interesting, Prabhupada points out, that when the Lord, as Hari, takes everything away, the first thing he targets is one's money. Because from money, everything else you get. From money you get your house, your everything, your maintained family, all whatever you can do with money. So these other aspects, religion is for that, then your opulence, that sense gratification requires that, and maintenance of the family requires that. Right? Family's not maintained, then there won't be any opportunity for sense gratification. Then when opportunity is there, after maintaining the family, then you need money for that sense gratification. You need money for the religion, then you get reputation. But you only have the reputation because you have the money, so you can do the sacrifice. So we see both of these spheres, the pious, the social, and the family, then it's all that money is the central feature. So when the Lord takes that away, then it means that then we can surrender to Him, depend upon Him. Because as pointed out here, Sukracharya is saying all these things, which are correct. But he is leaving out one point. He is leaving out the point that the Lord protects His devotees. This point he has missed. That the Lord, being the Lord of Lakshmi, then He has all opulence. So if we surrender to Krishna, then automatically if you have Krishna, you have all opulence. You don't have Krishna, you have some opulence. You have Krishna, you have all opulence. Means there's nothing more than Krishna. Krishna is opulence. So when you have Him, you have everything. So we see later, as it will come up, Bali Maharaj, he has everything. Because he has the Lord. So then when he offers himself to the Lord, then he gets everything. So that is the other aspect. So when we have money, we're proud of it, we're attached to it, then the tendency is Krishna takes it. But because he protects the devotee naturally surrenders to Krishna, not for the purpose of getting money back. That's how he got it in the first place. He surrendered to Krishna, and because of this piety, he got money, right? Artarthi means he needed money, he turned to the Lord, he got the money. But the point is we're supposed to be attached to Krishna, and not to the money. Money is there. You do your duties, whatever Krishna wants you to do, money is needed, Krishna will give that money. Like that. Previously, there was one of the administrators here in Mayapur, big anxiety for money. Didn't know what to do, maintain the place, so much difficulty, this and that. So he wrote Srila Prabhupada about this. Then Srila Prabhupada wrote back, don't worry for money. You just do your service, apply yourself, do your best, money will come, Krishna will send. And then we see, shortly after that, the place became very opulent, like that. Sometimes it'll be, you know, thought that, oh, it's a simple place here, not much happening, not much money. But if you were here in the 70s, you wouldn't say that. Compared to the 70s, then the standard, I think, in those days, room for the grihasta was about 10 feet by 12 feet, those rooms upstairs. Yeah, 10 feet by 12 feet, with one room with a common bathroom, like that. I think there was divided men and women, but that was it. You know, there was no furniture inside, you know, nothing. You spend all day at the temple, serving all day at the temple. Basically, they just go back, rest there, and that's all. It was just some place they knew they could put their dhoti, and no other brahmachari would put it on, like that. You know, so, like that. It had that security. That gain in security had been obtained. So then we see one doesn't need to worry. One applies himself to his service. Like Bali Maharaj here, it's his duty to take care and give in charity to the Brahmins. He's doing that. He was asked for a little bit of charity. Vamanadev gave so many reasons why. He agreed to it. And now, if he doesn't do this, then factually he will lose everything and go to hell. Sukracharya is saying he will go to hell if he gives in charity. Because he's thinking by yajnas, that is what is the perfection. The yajna is meant to please the Lord. The smartest think it's to get to the heavenly planets. But it's actually to please the Lord. So he's missed the point. He thinks material opulence, that is opulence. And if you can't perform your duties, then you'll go to hell. For a materialist, yes, it's true. If they don't take care of their family, if they don't give in charity, they don't do all these activities that are listed in the Vedas as karmakanda, they will go to hell, guaranteed. But for the devotee, the sacrifice means sacrificing to Krishna, maintaining the family for Krishna, maintaining oneself for Krishna, one's sense gratification is connected to Krishna, one's reputation is connected to Krishna. Right? This is the difference. So because of that, then there's no loss for the devotee. So by performing this, his duty to accept this service to Vamanadeva, then he will become, all perfection will come. We're still reading about this story today, right? So many other smarta brahmins, we don't hear about. Right? We hear about Sukracharya because of his connection with Bali Maharaj and the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, we wouldn't hear. You know, like that. So many yagyas were done. We don't hear about them. Who cares? But we're hearing about Bali Maharaj. His reputation is still there, right? He is known as one of the Mahajanas, so the top in religion, the best at the religious process. Like that. His opulence became greater than Indra. Even when he was on the Sutala planet, his opulence was greater than Indra's. Indra didn't have such opulence. Like that. His sense gratification, when you have such opulence, naturally it's more, but it's connected to the Lord, so it's nothing to be bewildered by. And the family members, naturally they would be maintained in such a nice situation like this. So we see so many times when people have surrendered to the Lord, even though they lost everything or they had nothing. Sudama Brahma had nothing. But what even that he gave to the Lord, right? He had nothing in his house. There was nothing to eat. His wife went out and begged some chip rice. So that was the only thing they had in their house. He took that and gave that to Krishna. It doesn't say that she begged that and gave part of it to him and part of it she put away. No, what she begged, she gave. So what he had, he gave everything. Like that. So then we see is that one should perform one's duties happily with determination. And one will see, everything will come. Right? But how this everything has come has to be seen in relationship to Krishna. If it's not seen in relationship to Krishna, yes, we may have some difficulties. Right? Bali Maharaj's wife, she did not see in this way. She had problems. Right? She was thinking, what is going on here? Why is this nasty little Brahmin boy done all this to my husband? Right? Bali Maharaj's daughter thought the same thing. She wanted to poison Vamanadeva. She wanted to kill him. Sukracharya is very upset. He left. Right? Cursed him. Like this. So therefore he lost his position. So then everybody else lost. But Bali Maharaj did not lose. That's the thing. Is that we have to see what is gain and what is loss. What is actual safety? What is actual, satisfaction? So when we see that, then we will never be disturbed. Right? Kunti Devi, she's a queen, she's used to great opulence. But she felt that the best opulence they had is when they were living with nothing in the forest and they had Krishna. Otherwise, now they're in Hastinapur and they have the whole world. Not only do they have the whole world, they have sovereignty of the whole world, undisputed. Right? They've done the Ashwamedha, they did the Rajasuya. Very great things. You can only do this if you're undisputed. You can be emperor, and some people don't agree, and there's little pockets here and there which they don't accept your authority. You cannot do the Rajasuya sacrifice or the Ashwamedha. These means undisputed. Everybody, every king on the planet accepts your authority. Like that. So it's a special position. So that they had. But Kunti wasn't happy. She was living in the palace, but she would eat once a month. She would fast for 29 days and eat once. And just spend the time in a room doing puja and other things, worshipping Krishna. Yeah, pretty austere. How you say? A little bit more austere than eating, boiled green papaya every day, right? Like that. So she only ate once a month. And then as soon as the opportunity was there to go to the forest, right, she wouldn't go on her own. As soon as Dhritarashtra and Gandhari and Vidura were going to the forest, immediately she took the opportunity and also went. So even though all that opulence, she still didn't feel satisfied. Right? Well, we see Bali Maharaj, he's lost everything. He's fully satisfied when he bows down and offers his head. He's completely satisfied. So these things have to be considered, is that religion will give opulence if one performs it. But one has to see, is that actually what we want? Something is needed, of course. How much is needed? What you're going to do with it once you get it? These have to be seriously considered. Someone say, I need money. How much money? What are you going to use the money for? Right? Depending on what you'll use it for, then you need a certain amount. Right? You have more needs, you need more money. You have to work harder. You have to spend less time for other duties. Right? So these things, one must consider. What does one need for? What will one do with it? How is one maintaining the family members? Right? So then one has to see. The husband, he's getting money, so a certain amount of that has to be given for the family members, their needs. And then that money that's given, generally we see the tradition, the wife will take care, she'll do the things in the house with that. That means she has to be seeing, is everybody maintained with this money? Is everyone satisfied? So one has to see, what is one doing? Otherwise then everybody says, make money, we go out, make money, but why make money? What are we doing to make it? Here Shukracharya said, without this, then he's giving at least something. Religion, what, respect, all these things. You know, one has to think, does one even think this far? Right? And this is the basic platform of human life. And this is a materialist. Right? The devotee then, just he divides it even more simply. These five parts are contained in the four of Rupa Goswami, a quarter for the family, a quarter for oneself, and half is used for religious purposes, giving in charity, all your reputation, all that will come. So he divides like this. Sometimes it's also said that the one quarter is used for maintenance of the family and one quarter for emergency. So one has to see how one wants to do. In any case, however it does, Manu mentions that the money that's there for maintenance of the family, that if the wife must keep some of that for emergency. If there's no emergency money, then the wife has not managed it properly. She's used too much for the maintenance of the family. So we see is then one has to adjust. One has to see what one wants, what I have the nature to get. Then what's that is what I have, then how one should live. According to our ashram, we live. According to our varna, we live. And then, according to that, then we're going to spend some to live, and some we're going to put away for if there's any difficulties. So like that, then this is given. So these are considerations. So it's said that someone is happy in this world, if he follows this, and in the next. But we see is for us, the next world is not, the interest is not the heavenly planets. For us, the next world is Krishna. Therefore, for us, that surrender is to Krishna. Everything's for Krishna, the money's for Krishna, family for Krishna, everything. So we see all this in relationship to that, rather than how ultimately we're going to enjoy on the heavenly planets, which is what Shukracharya is giving. Yeah. Here Prabhupada says, one main purpose should be to advance in Krishna consciousness. This will include dharma, artha, and kama. However, because one's family members expect some profit, one should also satisfy them by giving them a portion of one's accumulated wealth. This is the Shastric injunction. Right? So one can't give everything away in charity without taking care of the family. I heard one Mataji was making a point. Everything was going into their preaching and this and that, and then, husband wasn't situated so well in his Krishna consciousness. And as soon as, if everything was going nice in this way, then, okay, it's going like that. We're all living like this. But then as soon as there was a little problem, Then immediately she said, you know, I've been doing this for so many years. Where's, you know, husband hasn't given me a house, no security, no this, no that. So as soon as it drops from Krishna consciousness, boing, right there is the point here. These family members are expecting some profit. That's the whole system, right? Marriage means expecting profit. That's what it means. One is expecting. So one should work out what is that profit, right? And then accordingly, then live accordingly, like that. One should come to some agreement, some discussion. Since profit is there, profit can be discussed, right? Sometimes we think, you know, it's an emotional, very touchy, and how can you discuss these things and all that. But that's emotions, okay, that's one thing. But now profit is something solid, right? So that is discussable. It's just a matter you have to be able to breach the topic. But it's there. Don't worry. You scratch below the very, you know, nice sweetness and the, you know, that mood of all this and that. And then you'll find that there is a, how you say, a very developed capability to discuss profit. Like that. You don't have to worry. It's there. So then this should be discussed. One should see. One should be practical. But in this, that's not the only thing. Also sacrifice, you know, charity, austerity, reputation, these also must be. These are also part. Without that, it also has no meaning. So therefore, then Rupa Goswami says, therefore, another portion is given for that. Like that. So these are considerations. Any questions on this or comments or yes?
What made Bali Maharaj to just realize at once that before that he was fighting with the demigods, but just at once he realized that he's in the
So how did he realize suddenly? It means he was always a devotee. I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions he was a devotee, but the problem is he was just satisfied going on as a neophyte devotee. So he was very attached to his money and, you know, his position and wealth and all these things. So then when Vamana came, then we see Shukracharya, by his, you know, brahminical potency and prowess. We notice here he's not saying sinful things. He's quoting Shastra. He's correct according to the rules in the scriptures, but his interpretation and understanding of those rules is not complete. So here he's hearing from authority that this is God. So now he sees the opportunity. And being a devotee, then he surrenders. So when he does that surrender, then he crosses and comes to that Uttama platform. So he was already a devotee. But he's born in the demon family. It's his duty to perform those duties. Right? He is coming in the line of Diti. And we see here, they're following the Vedic principles. Right? He's not running a casino or something, or, you know, trafficking drugs or like that. He's performing proper duties as a king, maintaining Brahmins, doing great sacrifices. All this is going on during a yajna that will come up later. Vamanadeva, after the whole pastime, will ask Sukracharya to speak on what actually was Bali Maharaj's fault, that he was cursed by Sukracharya. And Sukracharya will say, actually, if you look at it, he was correct. Like that. You can't get around it. Even the big... Someone was telling me the other day that this... previously in South... There's five main seats of the Shankaracharyas. So one of the most prominent... It's not the biggest, but it's actually the most known of the seats. And the Acharya who is the most known of all the Acharyas. Someone was asking him, what is the ultimate conclusion? Who's the most worshipable person in the Vedas? What is the ultimate conclusion? He says, without a doubt, it's Lord Vishnu. says all the scriptures say, if you actually study, you can't worship any devata, you can't do anything without worshiping him. This is the biggest maya. He says, the conclusion of the Shastra is clear. Lord Vishnu is the worshipable object. Everything is coming from him. Everything is working by him. He is everything. Like that. So even they're saying this. So, you know, how do you say? Only problem is he thinks he's Lord Vishnu. small technical problem here, but the conclusion of the scriptures is clear. So therefore even Sukracharya says, yes, you know, he could understand it's the Lord. He knew that what he was doing was actually correct, but because he is attached, he knows he's going to lose everything. Right? Big yagya is going on. If he loses everything, the yagya won't finish. Yagya doesn't finish. Until the yagya is finished, you don't get dakshin. Right? It means devotional activities, you've done a little bit of it, you get the benefit of it immediately. Right? And as you do more, you get more benefit. So the devotional benefit is going on when it's happening. Because devotional service is now. Right? While material activities in the future or past, it's not now. So only when you finish the thing, then for a minute, moment, it's now, and then it goes into the past. I will finish. We finished. Oh, now it's gone. So now I finished the yagya. Now where's my dakshin? Right? So until he finishes, he's not going to get anything. Because material things, unless you finish them, you don't get anything. Right? You can't half cook something and then it's nice. You have to fully cook it. Right? So here is the yagya won't be finished because there's no money to run the yagya. You know, even if they do the yagya, then there's not going to be any dakshin. So then the smartas, you know, why are they going to do it?
Too smart.
Huh?
They're too smart.
Yes, they're too smart. So they're not going to do these things, right? Because it's their duty. It means the yagya will have no benefit for the person who's performing the yagya. It means Bali Maharaj, the sponsor of the yagya, unless he gives in charity. Means when he gives the Brahmins complete the portion or the whole yagya, then it's ready. When he gives the charity to the Brahmins, then the results of that are turned over to him. Then he gets the benefit. If not, if he doesn't give in charity, the Brahmins take it with them. As they walk away, the benefits, results of the yagya go with them. They get it. Okay, they weren't paid in money. They were paid in results of the yagya. So if they do the Yashrameda, and he doesn't give in charity, the Brahmin who did it, he'll get the benefits. So that's the point. So that's why it's even though it looks it's businessy, but you can see the result of the sacrifice is greater than whatever the Yajaman can give. Right? They give something, it'll send you the heavenly planets. They'll give you some money. What you'll do, you buy something with it and eat. Right? Or you use it yourself to give in charity and then get such benefits. That's why it's, you know, it's like, that's why they do these things. So the remuneration to the Brahmins is very small compared to what you get. Someone teaches you something, what you'll get is very minimal, or the advice given to the king, you know, what they can give back, or here a yagya is done, what you can give back. It's minimal, like that. And that's material. So therefore, the principle we see on the spiritual master, what he gives in spiritual knowledge and life, it can never be paid. Right? If you get Krishna, who is everything, you can't get more than that. So all you can do is offer Krishna that devotion. Offer that devotion to the spiritual master. Assist him in his service. That's all you can do. There is nothing else like that. So Bali Maharaj was already a devotee. Otherwise this pastime wouldn't have taken place. You see Jayan Vijay, big demons, they came as, because they're devotees, the Lord. The Lord doesn't, he doesn't play with these small-time demons. His material energy will take care. Why he needs to come? Right? By his will, it will go. Right? Sudarshan is time. So by Krishna's will, just Sudarshan would change things, and then the demigods would be back on top, the demons would be on the bottom. Sudarshan has put it the other way for the Lord's pastime. The demigods are becoming proud. and the demons, then they are, you know, becoming, you know, they're following the rules and regulations nicely. The demigods, because of their pride, have given up respect of their guru, and so they fell from the heavenly position. The demons, understanding that you don't get anything in this world, you know, good, whether it's material or spiritual, are worshipping their spiritual master, and they got the heavenly planets. Right? So, like this. So it needs to be adjusted. Because even though the demons shouldn't be in the heavenly planets, but they got the right mentality. They're following the Vedic process properly. The demigods, who should be in the position, as the, because they're devotees, but they have the wrong mentality. They've given up worship of the Guru. So then, therefore, then they go down, the others come up. Because Krishna's process is worship Guru, follow the Shastra. So if they're doing that, right? So like that. So even though, yeah, okay. So therefore it's not a, it's a natural thing for him. So it makes some sense.
And one more point is, we understand that Supracharya is spiritual master of demons. So demons, they're not spiritually inclined. And here, Prabhupada described him as spiritual master. So,
yes.
Even demons have spiritual...
Spiritual master, because spiritual master means he gives you knowledge based on the scriptures. Guru, sadhu, shastra. So according to the scriptures, then the guru gives knowledge. So Sukracharya, he's speaking straight from the Veda. So the purpose of the Veda is spiritual. His interpretation's not spiritual. But he can't be an ordinary person. He immediately sees this dwarf Brahman and knows this is Vishnu. Right? So many people, Krishna goes into the assembly in Mathura, and so many see him in so many ways, they don't see the Supreme Lord. Right? But he says, here is Hari, here is the Supreme Lord. Like that. He's able to see, so that means he's not ordinary. So he's based on the scriptures. So therefore spiritual. But the conclusion is wrong. They're using the right process, but for the wrong purpose. Right? They're taking the elements, they're putting them together, basically using the right process, but they've got a wrong conclusion. They want to go to the heavenly planets or the Brahman. So we take the same things, put them together in the same way, but our goal is Krishna. Right? And since our goal is Krishna, not the heavenly planets, those things in the process that are connected to the heavenly planets, we drop those. We drop those. And so they're not important for us. It means we drop those and accept others. There's always something there. Some process is there. So then it works. So his problem is just his conclusion is wrong. You know, due to his attachments. That's there. Okay.
So, yes. Well, he started glass mentioning production and distribution of wealth. According to the Vedic system, wealth is connected to needs. The needs are connected to nature, the nature of the individual. So the keyword of this topic may be the nature of the individual and the needs. So how do the individual recognize the needs? Is this an individual task or somebody has possessed it?
The needs are given in the scriptures. Because otherwise we see we don't know. So many desires are there. But what actually we can fulfill and actually be satisfied with, that's another thing. So we have to see what is the nature. And nature as you see, what are the interests, what are ways I can fulfill those interests, and then you look and you see what are the standard things, how are you going to do?
My question is, how do I recognize my nature, my personal task, how do I assess?
It means Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. These three. That's our authority. Means we have to approach authority. So then it's mentioned that, as the rules and regulations, as Brahma has given it, as the Acharyas then have given it to us, and then practically applying that, you know, like that, means the Lord has given it for the purpose of going back to Godhead. Then Brahma has then spoken those rules to give the details how to apply going back to Godhead into the context of the social, you know, and social and personal situations, like that. Then the acharyas have then commented on that to give it more of a refinement, like here Rupa Goswami has done. Then we see that we are satisfied in that. Right?
Does it mean that an outlook has to determine my bhava?
Say again?
Does it mean that a third person has to determine my bhava?
No, varna, we mentioned four different aspects there. Means what is the Lord's conclusion? Right? Means that all activities are for going back to Godhead. Right? That dharmasya hyapavargasya, that verse from Bhagavatam. All occupational duties are meant to take one back to Godhead. Then Brahma then defines what are those occupational duties. Right? Then the acharyas comment that to tell us, you know, properly how to do those duties. What are the details? Then we have to see that we are satisfied in applying that. So generally we understand this from authorities, from the teacher, from the parents, from, you know, other leaders of the community. Then we understand what is the process, and therefore then what is our position, who we are. Because it's actually not us, it's just what we have accumulated due to our previous activities. So it's just, it's not us, but it doesn't mean that we can do with it what we like. Right? I'm not the book, but the book has a nature. I must deal it in a certain way as a book. I can't be rough with the pages. I can't expose it, you know, to the rain and other things. Otherwise, it gets ruined because it's a book. Right? So therefore, I must see that. So that's only people who understand they're not the body can perform their duties properly. Only they can do. People who think they're the body actually can't do their duties, because then they identify with the mind, and then whatever the mind wants, they want to do that. And the mind wants to do everything. The mind won't restrict itself that I'm doing this, therefore this. You know, it's just like the mind is, I like to make money, I like to have a family, but taking care of the family, that's a trip. Like that. But no, if you're going to have a family, you have to take care. You don't want to take care, don't have a family. It's that simple. Huh?
No money.
Yeah, and no money. You know, it's like, you don't like making money, then you don't have money. But this idea, I want money without work. You know, I want everything to go on the house without me doing anything. You know, I want to be socially respected and that without doing anything. Right? So I want all these things. So that's the mind. That's called irreligion. So Krishna rejects that in the Gita. You have to perform your duty. So you have to see what is there. You take it. You want to do this. You know, you want to be a brahmachari free from all these things, then you have to be a brahmachari. You want to be a grihastha, then you have to take care of these things. Like that. I remember, it says, like that, one has to take, it means one has to accept the full duck, like that, not just the back half that gives the golden egg. You have to take the front that does all the talking and eating and poking, and you get the whole duck, you know, the whole duck comes. So that's the problem, is if we don't follow the scriptures and authority, then we will just take a half a duck. And why only half of one duck? We want half of all the ducks. Right? You know, we want to receive, everybody should take care of us like a Brahmin and respect us, and we should be the top, and whatever we say everyone just does immediately. At the same time, we want to be completely, totally, absolutely in control of everything, like the Kshatriya, like that, and can live great opulences and that. Brahmin has to live simple, so we'll drop that side of the duck. We'll, you know, we live the life of the Kshatriya. like that. At the same time, Kshatriyas have to follow all this Dharma, and they said they gave their word, they have to follow it. That's a bit of a trip. So Vaishyas don't. Vaishyas just have money and enjoy it. I'll take that side of it like that. You know, and at the same time is that, you know, I mean, there is still some restriction if you want to be a dvija, but then Shudras, they, you know, they can do so many things, and if they do it, who cares? Like that, so I don't follow the program, I sleep in, I do whatever I want. Eh, I take that from there, right? Very nice, you know. Brahmacharya is independent, doesn't have to take care. Like that, you know, no responsibilities, I like that part. So I take that, right? Like that, Grihastha, then, you know, he can do whatever he like, independent, make his own program. I like that. I'll take that part. But remember, I did say before, no responsibility. Right? You know? Vanaprastha is like elder in the community, so everybody should listen to me. And, you know, like that. Whatever is my experience, you know, for the last 2 seconds, everyone should go, wow, like this. And sannyasi, this, you know, the what do you call it, the guru of all the orders, like that, moves around as they like and everything, you know, receives things. So like that, I want half of all 8 ducks, right? And the other half, you know, in this age, Kali Yuga, we have to be practical, you know, we are who we are, and, you know, all these discussions, we have to be practical. And so all it is it's just too much desire. That we want all the back halves, we want 8 golden eggs, and we don't want to have to worry about 8 mouths. Like that. But no. Krishna says you can have 2 of these ducks, right? At a time. And sometimes only one. 1, maximum 2. One of the ashrams, one of the varnas. And some of them, then the varna is already fixed. Brahmachari has to live like a Brahmin. And the vanaprastha and the sannyasi also live as Brahmins. Like that. So the grihastha then can choose 1 of the 4. But the other 3, no, they have to live as Brahmins. Like that. And technically the Brahmin and his ashram are one. They're not different. His sadhana is his occupation. Like that. So it becomes the same. So one has to know what it is, and one has to take advice from authority, then it works. Otherwise, then it doesn't work. We'll just make up our own thing, and in making up our thing, because we want the half a duck, that means we're taking someone else's half a duck. That's the problem. Because I may want, but we have to see is I'm just one individual. I don't have the right to step on others' toes. So that's what the Vedic system is. You know, this person does this, this person does that. Because then these 2 people can get together and have a very nice interaction. Well, if this person does what he wants, he'll take all this and this person all that. There's no space for either of them. Right? 2 of us want to live in a room, then there has to be some, you know, rules. Otherwise it's, I think I'll put my bed there. Yeah, so will I. You know, so then, yeah, I'll keep my stuff over here. That's a great place. I'm going to put everything in. You'll not live. You know, it's okay. 1 bed here, 1 bed there, 1 stuff here, 1 stuff there. You know, you make something. There may be some. There's things that are common, like that. You know, and so then you know, like that. So it's you know, the foundation of the house basically is shared. You know, it's like that. So something is overlapping, and some things aren't overlapping. So that's what the Vedic literature does, is it tells you what is your area, you stay in that area. Otherwise, if you go out of that area, you're going to disturb everyone. But at these points, that's where you interface with others. So it gives the individual an identity, it gives the individual a means to maintain themselves, and a way to, you know, be peaceful, that they know how their life's going to go. At the same time, it gives them a way to take part in the overall social system. And ultimately, how to go back to Godhead.
Last question. We are talking about the dharma of the ashram, of the varna. How do I apply the dharma of the varna in the Vaishnava service?
Because it's used for Krishna. The goal is Krishna. I mean, why manage unless you can make others Krishna conscious? Why give advice or do puja or teach unless you can make others Krishna conscious? Why generate money if it can't be used for Krishna consciousness? Why develop the arts unless they're going to be used for Krishna? Right? You want to sing, but we should sing for Krishna. Paint, we paint for Krishna. Whatever you want to do, it can be done for Krishna. Okay? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Bali Maharaj Vamanadeva ki, Gopastami ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayanitai Gaura Premanam ki.